Good evening. As announced, the scripture reading is from Psalm 118, verses 1 through 4. Psalm 118, verses 1 through 4. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endures forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endures forever.
Good to be with you tonight. Hope everyone had a good afternoon. Open your Bibles to John chapter 9. John the 9th chapter. I'm just going to take a few minutes of your time tonight. Look at this particular passage of Scripture. Verse 4 is what we're going to look at. John chapter 9 is a familiar chapter, mostly because it is the place where we usually go to when we think about the fact that sinners cannot have a praying relationship with God. You remember in John chapter 9 at verse 34 with regard to the blind man who Jesus healed, the man that was blind from birth. He made the statement, we know that God does not listen to sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. And so generally when we think of John chapter 9, we think of this man and all that went on with him and his parents and all of that, but particularly the fact that God does not hear sinners. But in the very beginning of John chapter 9, at verse 4, we have a verse that is very homiletic in nature. There's a natural sermon there, and it would be a three-point sermon. And so that's what we're going to look at tonight. Again, just for a few minutes, three practical points that come from Jesus. And so John chapter 9 at verse 4 says, we must work the works of him who sent us while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. So three simple points. First of all, Jesus says we must work. And you notice he didn't say we can work. He doesn't say we should or could work, but we must work. And the fact of the matter is, there isn't any other kind of Christian but a working Christian. Those who are not working in the kingdom of God, even though perhaps they have been baptized into Christ, are really not following in the steps of Christ. Jesus certainly was a worker. He spent all of the days that he had in this life from the time he entered into his personal ministry, particularly until the time he was crucified, he was doing the work that the Father gave him to do. He recognized that he had a short period of time to do what he came to do, and he was about the Father's business. And so he says, we must work. But what he said about himself is certainly true about all of us. We all should be laborers in the kingdom of God, in the vineyard of the Lord. We all should be able to say that we are working for God. I want you to stop and think. Just ask yourself the question, what are you doing for the Lord? Are you working for the Lord? We all ought to be able to answer that question without a long pause. We should be able to think of the things that we are doing specifically for the Lord. What are you doing? What kind of work are you doing for God? We must work. One of the great workers, of course, in the church that we know of is Paul. He was constantly working. I think about over in Philippians chapter 1. Turn your Bibles over there. And you might recall the situation where Paul talks about being, in the King James Version at least, he says that he is in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart, he said, so that he could be with the Lord, which was far better. But he indicated that if he was able to continue in the flesh. And at that particular time, he just wasn't sure what was going to happen. Remember, he was a prisoner at that time. And he demonstrated that he had some confidence that he would be released, but he couldn't be absolutely sure about that. And so he really didn't know which way that it was going to go. But if you asked him what he really wanted, he would say, if it was really up to me, I would just depart to go to be with Christ. That's far better. But he recognized that him staying in the flesh was of some value to the brethren. And in Philippians chapter 1, and notice at about verse 24, he says, but to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Now, why was that? Was Paul just so full of himself that he thought that just being amongst the brethren and them being blessed to be in his presence somehow was going to be of great value to them? No, that wasn't the case. Paul realized that if he was able to continue in this world, that he was going to work. Because that's just who he was. He was a laborer in the vineyard of the Lord. You notice at verse 22, he says, if I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. And referring to the life that he knew he would live if he continued in the flesh. He knew that would mean fruitful labor for me. Paul was a laborer. That's just who he was. You might remember, of course, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I think we all remember the famous words of Paul there. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 just for a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And Paul at verse 9, he says, for I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I work harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Notice, I worked harder than all of them. He's probably referring to the other apostles. And we understand that the other apostles weren't lazy. It wasn't like the other apostles weren't doing anything. They were engaged in the work of the Lord as well. But Paul says, I worked harder than all of them. Why was Paul such a great apostle? I've often said it's not simply because he had miraculous power, even that he had been baptized with the Holy Spirit and was able to transfer miraculous power to other people. Those were all great things, but that's not what made him great. He was a great apostle because he was willing to labor. He was willing to work. Jesus was willing to work. And all of that is applicable to all of us as Christians. Are you willing to work? We need to understand, just coming to a service and sitting on a comfortable pew for about an hour or so, that cannot be the extent of our Christianity. We must work. So what work are you doing? What work am I doing? Are we busy in the kingdom of God? We must work. But notice, back over in John chapter 9, not only did Jesus say that we must work, but he said we must work the works of him who sent me. And so it's not just any kind of work that we have to do. We have to do God's work. And that's important. The religious world is filled with people who are very busy and active religiously. The only problem is they're not doing the right work. It's not work that we think is God's work. If we're work that God has given us to do. You must believe in Jesus, that He is that Christ, the Son of the living God. John chapter 8 at verse 24. And then you need to be buried in the waters of baptism for the remission of your sins, Acts 2 at verse 38. That will put you into Christ, Galatians 3 at verse 27. You need to do that work first. Then you're in the kingdom, and now you can start being an active member in the kingdom of God. But it begins with you obeying the gospel. Maybe you realize tonight in this short lesson, you have thought about the work. Maybe you can answer the question of what you are doing, what work you are doing, and you want to repent of that. Why not make up in your mind? Just do it right now. Have a change of heart. You recognize you haven't been working. Determine right now that you're going to start working and start serving God and being more active in the kingdom of God. Repent and ask God for forgiveness. He is faithful and just to forgive you. If it's real repentance, you'll follow it up by being a more active worker. We hope that you will. If you're subject to the invitation, come forward as we together stand and say.